Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poore. My guest today is Cynthia Carell. She is an attorney in Nassau County, Long Island. And Cynthia is going to brief us on the special election in the district to replace Dean Skelos, and how it looks for a Democratic pickup. So, Cynthia, what's your thoughts?
Well, the Democrats did something smart in their choice of a candidate. His name is Todd Kominski. He's a former federal prosecutor, and he is the man who prosecuted Pedro Espada. So, because he has a background in public corruption prosecution, it constantly brings home the notion of the corruption of the Republican Party in Nassau County, just the very fact of him. And that was very effective in the last cycle, tying Kate Murray to the corruption in the Republican Party, and that's why Kate Murray is not the district attorney right now, Madeline Singas is. So by constantly hammering home the notion that if you vote Republican, you're voting for corruption, I think that was actually a very smart choice. Even if he doesn't talk about it, the very fact of him brings it front and center. Excuse me, I have a very bad chest infection. The Republicans did something also intelligent in that they nominated a political neophyte named Chris McGrath. Chris McGrath was the president of the Nassau County Bar Association. He has apparently no political prior anything, so it's hard to tie him to the party other than by his registration. So because he comes with not a lot of, he's not a hack, that was about as good as they could do to distance themselves from themselves. In addition to which, Chris is a really nice guy. I actually know him from the Bar Association. He's a really pleasant person. So each side has actually, for once, done something fairly intelligent in positioning themselves in these races.
Now, if you want to make it, first of all, there was the question of whether the governor was going to designate this race on April 19th, the day of the presidential primary, which he did. So,
There are actually four races that he designated for that date. The race to fill Skelos' seat, the race to fill Silver's seat, and the race to fill the 59th Assembly District, which used to belong to Roxanne Persaud, who is now a state senator, and the 62nd Assembly District, which was Republican Joe Borelli, who's now a New York City councilman. So there will be four races on that day.
Okay. Now, which side do you think will benefit, the Republicans or the Democrats?
It's sort of interesting. It will depend on a couple of things. If Bloomberg gets into the race and you have a subway series among the Republicans could do very well. If Bloomberg does not get into the race, my experience in the last month or so has been that Bernie Sanders is building a very enthusiastic grassroots effort in New York. He filed 85,000 petition signatures this week. And when Hillary Clinton's campaign was asked how many they had filed, they declined to comment. So I'm going to assume it was significantly less than that. He only needed 5,000 to qualify, so he filed more than 16 times the number of signatures he needed. And those were sort of out-of-the-blue signatures. A call went out saying we'd like to qualify in all 27 congressional districts, and you need 500 to do that. They were looking to get 1,000 to 1,500 in each district, and they exceeded it dramatically. So we know that there's a lot of grassroots enthusiasm for Bernie, and if that translates into people coming out to make a decisive showing in the primary, this could benefit Democrats down ticket dramatically.
Oh, okay. Now you're talking the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk for 1 second about the presidential race. In the event that Bernie Sanders becomes the nominee for the Democratic Party, it was said yesterday that because of his left-leaning stances on issues, that whatever he proposes doesn't have a snowball's chance of getting through the Congress. Kind of like the same thing with, you know, what's going on in the state Senate. How do you feel about that?
I'll tell you. President Obama, a man for whom I worked in 2008 and 2012, said he was going to do transformational things when he got to Washington, and instead he tried to do incremental things and propose safe things that he thought would pass, leaving him no room to negotiate. You know, if you think of it like a Turkish rug bazaar, you offer $5 for the rug, they want $100, and you slowly come to you meet in the middle. Well, if you don't leave a big margin between you and them, you have nothing to bargain with. And Obama has consistently been taken to the cleaners on an awful lot of things ever since he lost control of one of the houses of Congress. I think the thing that Sanders does is by asking big, he can accept something less, and a half of a big loaf is better than none of a small loaf. I think he, and oddly enough, also Donald Trump, are changing the conversation. They're talking about things like inequality, and they're talking about things like leveling the playing field, and that's resonating at both ends of the political spectrum. So I think if those kind of messages turn out to do as well as they seem to be doing right now, that members of Congress will take the hint.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
You know, the concept of the Overton window, if we move the Overton window, then what's possible becomes different than what's possible if the Overton window stays where it is. And I think people are tired of a choice between Republicans and Republican light.
Right.
Sometimes
okay.
There's not a lot of difference between the two parties.
Uh-huh. Now, getting back to the special election in Nassau County, that might be the decisive factor in which the balance of power changes in the state Senate. In the event that Comiskey wins, where do you think Felder, Klein, and the IDC will go?
Well, that's the interesting thing. Since they're declining to say what they'll do, I hate to say this, but it sounds like they're going to hold out for who's the highest bidder.
Right.
Which is just more Albany as usual. It's not ideologically driven. It's transactional, which is a shame.
So if Comiskey does win, then there will be a lot of progressive legislation that will pass at the end of session. Would you agree?
I don't know if Kaminsky's a progressive or not. I don't know that much about him in terms of his political leanings. I know that he's law and order. But I am unaware, and I don't think he's got much out about that sort of stuff. When he was a rookie assemblyman, he was mostly about bringing home – his district included a lot of places that were decimated by Sandy, and he was mostly about bringing dollars in for Sandy remediation. So there's nothing there that really tells me much about whether he's going to be a progressive or a liberal or a whatever. So I don't know that he's got this kind of track record that tells us that.
How has Governor Cuomo been responding to this? Is he Does he say he's going to help the Democrats? What's his responses?
I have seen precious little evidence of Andrew Cuomo helping any Democrat in Nassau County other than John Kamen in the entire time he's been in office. When Tom Suozzi was running for county executive the last time, he literally had to be publicly shamed into coming down in a very hastily called, last-minute alleged rally in a very small VFW hall, and he spoke for 40 minutes and mentioned Tom's name twice. It was all about what wonderful things Andrew Cuomo had done. He doesn't raise money for Democrats in Nassau. He doesn't make appearances for Democrats in Nassau. He doesn't make commercials for Democrats in Nassau. He doesn't make phone calls for Democrats in Nassau. We're the orphan stepchildren.
But that goes back to exactly what his how his father behaved. His father did the same thing. Okay,
no,
now my question.
Actually, when Tom Suozzi was running in 2000 and 2001 to break the Republican hold on county executive, Mario came in the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks and made a really, really, really good commercial for him. And it aired very heavily, and Mario also came and did fundraising for him.
But But that was after he was governor. I mean, he was retired at that point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Mario, to my knowledge, has never abandoned Nassau.
Okay. And you think Andrew has?
Andrew has abandoned Nassau Democrats. Andrew has nothing but love for Ed Mangano, who is the Republican county executive. He comes and he does beach cleanups with him. I cannot tell you how many pictures of the two of them with their arms around each other, hugging each other, kissing each other. He's got nothing but love for the Nassau GOP.
Now, we had previously did a show on D'Amato's role in New York state politics.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Amato was from Nassau County. Do you think that's the reason why he doesn't help Democrats in Nassau?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I think part of it has to do with some personal animosities he's got, and I'm not going to name names, but part of it, I think, is personalities.
Okay. And so, if you were to make a prediction, how do you think the April 19th vote is going to go?
See, it depends on a lot of things that we don't know the outcome to right now. It depends, I think, a lot on how the presidential's going. Because it's the presidential primary that's going to drive turnout.
Okay.
None of these down-ticket races have captured the public's imagination. Even Newsday, which is, you know, the paper of record down here, barely covering this race.
Okay.
So I don't think that people are going to turn out in droves over filling the Skello seat in a special election. Might people turn out in droves because of the presidential and, oh, gee, as long as I'm in the voting booth, I might as well vote this other race? Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really the presidential election that's going to drive turnout. And a lot of that has to do with, will there still be a horse race in April? If one side or the other has it apparently sewed up, so there's no reason to turn out.
Right.
That will dramatically affect the Senate race.
Now, a couple minutes ago, you mentioned Bloomberg, and you're closer to New York City than I am. What do you think the prospects of Michael Bloomberg jumping into this, and who will it affect the most?
I heard a rumor that he had already written checks to a number of political consultants to lock them in case he wanted to run. So he's already made a large investment. and taken those people out of viability for other races, which was kind of smart because you don't usually hire the bulk of your staff in a particular state until right before you're going to use them.
Uh-huh.
So he's got a lot of talent all sewed up. So, A, if he decides to run, he can hit the ground running because he has all these people already sewed up. And I also heard that he was spending some money on polling and stuff. Two, if he decides not to run, he's got leverage with who's ever still alive in the race on April 19th in that sort of like, you know, holding the contract on a free agent in sports. He has the ability to release these people to his favorite candidate in exchange for whatever he wants. So he can afford to do it, he's done something sort of interesting and true. Most people can't afford to do that.
Right. But if he does decide to give in, he's not going to give in as a Democrat. He's going to come in as an independent.
Or as a Republican. He can come in as a Republican, too. I don't know.
Okay.
But like I said, it'll make it a Subway Series, which would be very interesting.
Describe for me what you mean by Subway Series. Trump versus Bloomberg?
Yeah. In terms of ratings war...
Right.
That'll drive up. That's the only thing I can think of that will drive up the ratings on this race higher than they are.
A friend of mine came up with a good scenario the other day. If Hillary falters, they might powers that be might decide to have Biden jump in.
Yeah, I've heard that
Biden,
too.
Right. And if Biden does jump in and he makes Andrew Cuomo his running mate, then it would be almost like an entire New York presidential race.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
there are some issues, though. They can't run in the primary in New York now. The deadline was yesterday to file.
Okay.
So the time to pull that trigger has passed.
For Bloomberg.
For Biden and Cuomo.
Oh, for Biden.
The petitions were due yesterday.
That's right. But that doesn't mean there can't be a draft.
That's really hard to do. That's really hard to do. That is super duper hard to do.
I think it's particularly
hard to do in the face of a grassroots sort of thing the way Sanders has. If it was between party people, you know, if it was between like Biden and Clinton and you were saying, okay, we're going to do a draft, there are people who actually bow to the power of the party. If it's between them and the Sanders people, the whole point of the Sanders people is that they don't acknowledge the power of the party, other than in a polite way. Like Sanders wasn't going to do unauthorized debates because he had made a promise to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and so he wouldn't agree to debates unless she authorized them. But that's, you know, that's being polite and honoring your word. But the Sanders supporters don't care if they burn themselves with the party because they weren't feeling love from the party to begin with.
Right. So
I feel like the party has abandoned them. They have nothing to lose.
Right. So as of right now, everything is kind of like a soap opera, and we're all waiting to see, you know, the final act. So
like I said, there are a lot of moving parts to this. And so many of those moving parts have to do with the presidential race, not the state Senate race. And as I said, since nobody seems to be focusing on the state Senate race. Gennaro says he's going to win it, but I haven't seen any fundraising. I haven't seen anything coming out of the DSCC. I see no activity.
He told me that, too. He told me that also.
Yeah.
So
I don't see Andrea Stewart Cousins doing anything. When you consider that she's the person who has the most to benefit if Kaminsky wins, I don't see her doing anything. I would be shocked if the governor does anything. Shocked in a happy way, though. I don't mean to discourage him if he's listening. Please come and help Todd Kaminsky win. So it really comes down to, do the Democratic presidential candidates have coattails that can benefit Todd Kaminsky?
Right. Now, when
so if the presidential race is more, if the presidential primary is more or less over by April 15th, that's bad for Kaminsky. If that primary race is still too close to call, then that's good for Kaminsky.
Now, you had come up here for the State of the State message in January.
Mm-hmm.
And you were speaking to a number of people about what's going on in Nassau County. With what you told them, have they implemented what you said?
What do you mean implemented what I said? I don't know that I had a recommendation.
Well yes, you had a recommendation. And did they follow that recommendation? To the best of your knowledge.
I don't remember having a recommendation. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But you spoke to people while you were up here about helping the Democrats win Scalise's seat.
I do know that are some plans to have some meetings with people who've had leadership roles before and who have a lot of credibility and who have the ability to be helpful. That's still in the works. It's really more a question of timing and things like that. This sounds funny, but the snow didn't help. It's sort of fouled up everybody's schedules. I don't mean the snow. I mean the snow 2 weeks ago. But actually, I had a conversation about this just on Wednesday, and that, yes, we still intend to move forward with trying to do sort of something grassroots for Kaminsky. Yes.
Okay. So this is a drama that's still unfolding. And like the U.S. Attorney said, stay tuned. So, Cynthia, as we get nearer...
An interesting thing happened that evidently yesterday, I think it was, 5 subpoenas were dropped on the town of Oyster Bay by the DA's office.
Uh-huh.
So the commissioner of planning and development, who is also the number 2 person in the GOP party, he's a deputy party chair, pled guilty to being to tax evasion in federal court, and there were a number of other allegations relating to him and others in the town government, and now the DA's office is evidently following up on those. So there should be more scandals to come.
Wonderful.
Yes,
so as all this develops, I'd like to have you back and focus on Albany so you can update everybody on Nassau County politics.
Great.
So you've been listening to Cynthia Carell, and she talked about not only the special race and the state senate, but also talked about the presidential primary. And if you like anything that was said here, go to Twitter, hashtag focused on Albany, and share your thoughts. Thank you, Cynthia. Have a wonderful day. And I hope you feel better.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, my pleasure.